So I have a random question to ask you guys. How many of you, when you get on an airplane, prefer a window seat and really want that window seat more than anything else? If that's you, just put your hand up. How many of you don't care? How many of you want to sit in the middle? Said no one. Right, there you go. Nobody. Everybody prefers window seat or maybe an aisle. I don't like the aisle seat because you stick your elbow out and the lady hits it with the card every time, like always. Like it doesn't. So you got to keep your elbows in. That's hard for me. So, but anyway, studies show that people who prefer the window seat are generally more selfish than others. I'm just being honest, man. How they come up with this stuff, I don't know, man. I don't know. But it's a true statement. Science shows that we are very selfish as people. Again, look back at a two-year-old. You don't have to tell a two-year-old it's their toy. It's mine. It's mine. Even if it doesn't belong to them. Go to the nursery, the Sprouts room, and you'll see. Everything is certain kids' stuff, even the stuff other people have that they had no interest in before the other person got it. Now, all of a sudden, I want it, right? Guys, you're not going to be happy with this part. Studies have also shown that men are generally more selfish than women. I figured the women would like, oh, I heard amen. There it goes. Yeah, amen. That's right. Yeah. Studies show that the male neural reward system is more stimulated by self-centered actions and things, right? As women are more likely to get a dopamine rush out of helping other people, out of serving others. You get that because the mothers are more nurturing. They worry about other people more than they worry about themselves. And so generally, now that's not always the case, but generally that's what happens. So men are more focused on surviving and women are more focused on helping others survive. Think this thought. No, I'm not going to say. Think this thought. Women are more likely to be involved in what's going on at the church than men are. Amen. Think that thought. Women are more likely to give to others. But women, don't worry, I'm going to get to you in a minute. But they're more likely to serve. And this is the bad thing, guys, too, for guys. If you're in good shape, like you physically fit, things get worse for you, okay? Because bigger muscles lead to a smaller heart, according to studies. Men who are more muscular are more selfish. So, ladies, if you're looking for someone significant, don't marry somebody who always goes to the gym and sits at the window seat. That's just what you gotta, right? What you gotta look forward to there. So there's that. But men aren't the only ones who are selfish. Ladies, you can be selfish too. When it comes to chocolate, it's pretty much every woman for herself, right? That's mine. You got to stay away from it. Some people like somebody. So this is funny. How many of you had a family where your parents, if you had to split something up, if you had multiple siblings, if you were by yourself, you just got the whole thing. But if you had multiple siblings, one person got to split it and the other one got to pick, right? One person got to split. So I'm going to tell on my brother and my sister, man, Troy and Lori. We always used to, well, it was always Troy and Lori, Lacey and myself. Lacey was my age, so we split things. And then Troy and Lori were older, so they split things. That's just how it worked. Whenever we were in arguments, it was me and Lori against Troy and Lacey. I don't know how that worked out. It just always that way. But anyway, Troy would split it. And he would split it and get a little bit bigger on his portion. And Lori didn't really care. Like, she didn't really care. But every now and then, he would start to get a little bit bigger on his portion and a little bit bigger on his portion, a little bit bigger on his portion. So every now and then, to keep him honest, Lori would take the big one. And he'd be like, well, wait, you always take the small one. She's like, well, I'm taking the big one this time. So you know what that did for Troy? It made him start splitting it a little bit more even now. Why? Because there might be a chance that I don't get those things. Studies show that we always want more. We always are more selfish than in a willingness to give. How many of you know there are givers in the world and they give? There are takers in the world and they take. A lot of times the only time a taker gives is if they get something in return. Our thought process as a church, as a Christ follower, should always be, I'm going to give to you whether you can give back to me or not. That should be the basis behind us doing what we do. Amen? Selfless. Proverbs 21:26 says, all day long he craves, but righteous gives and does not hold back. Let me ask you this thought. When was the last time that you didn't hold back? I'm not talking about when somebody cuts you off in traffic and you just let it fly. I'm talking about being generous, giving to someone. And I told you guys a story about my lunch last week, so I'm not going to go into that again. But when is the last time that you gave something when you thought you might have to do without because you gave, but it was important to give, right? I want us to have this think about these things. When's the last time we were generous? And as we go into our talk about being selfless and having selfless faith, a lot of times that extends to us in what we do with what God's put into our hands, right? What has God put in? Every time God called anybody to do anything, what did he say? What did he say to Moses? You know, what's in your hand? What have I already given you? We think the thought, I don't have anything to give. I can't. Where does that, what kind of faith does that look like right there? I. Me. It's all about me. We want to change our thought process when it comes to everything that we get from God. We need to change our process to what, because look, God gives us things so that we can have as well, but so that we will have an overflow to give to others. And a lot of times, and I'm gonna say this statement, and some people might be like, no, I don't believe it. And that's okay. You don't have to believe it. I believe it, and I'm gonna walk by it. But I believe that the scripture says, as your faith is, so be it. If you say, I can't, you never will. You never will. If you keep that thought process of, if I do this, then I won't, you never will, because you won't give. You won't give. There's three mindsets about generosity that we're going to talk about today, man. And the first one, and today might be a short one. It might not, but it might be a short one today, but that's okay. You guys like to get out of here early anyway, right, to go get to lunch? Does that mean no? Yeah. I figured somebody say amen to that one. Wait a minute. The first one that we're going to talk about is the bag mentality about generosity, is that there is never enough. The bag mentality. There's never enough. And I'm going to use some scriptures to bring some of these things out. Haggai 1:6 says, you have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them in a bag with holes. To put them in a bag with holes. So everything I get just goes straight out. Do you know that's the American way? To live beyond your means. To live farther than you can. To take what you've been given and just throw it right back out the door. Or hand it to people that don't deserve to have it. When I say don't deserve to have it, again, think about our credit system. You say, how are you going to get on that? We're going to talk about money today, you guys. So just bear with me. It's going to be okay. I don't want your money. I'm not trying to get you to give. I am, but not just to the church. I'm trying to get you to give in every aspect of your life, to be generous in every way. Think of our credit system. So I get this little piece of plastic that I get to go and grab something to eat with. And then instead of paying $5 for a sandwich, I'm actually eventually going to end up paying like $10 or like $7.50 because I'm getting interest put on top of it. So I am, and ultimately, the majority of the people who have credit cards, I'm just saying, be real, and if you look at your statement, you'll see, if you pay the minimum payment, you're never going to be out of debt. Never. So we are continually taking what we have and just putting it right back into somebody else's stuff. So we're taking what God has given us and just giving it away. Now you say, well, you have credit cards. Yes, I do. And I'm trying to get rid of them. But the process of always working to get so that I can take care of me, and giving it away in the process. There's some things, man, a house, a car, those different things. You know, nobody has that kind of money laying around generally, right? But at the same time, everything that we do, we need to pay attention and be a good steward of what God put into our hands. I wish I could give, but I can't. I don't have enough for me. I wish I could give, or I'd like to do this. April and I want to buy some property, man. We want to get about 5, 10 acres, something like that, and put a house on it or do something with it and move out and have our own thing, you know. And we want to do that, but do you know why we can't do that right now? Because of all the debt that we have in different places. All the things that we owe to other people that we're just paying the funds that come into us to go out. Now, I'm letting you in on our life a little bit, but I promise you, most of you, if you look at your life, it's the exact same way. Because that's how we are geared to live by society. That's what we're trying to do. I can't afford to because I have student loans, or I have my car notes, or I have this, or I have that, or I have to do this and I have to do that. Now, look, all those things aren't bad to have. I need a car. I definitely need a house, right? I need those things, but what am I doing with what God's put into my hands? Am I being a good steward, or am I putting it in a bag with holes? Am I just allowing it to go away? As a pastor, I hear this a lot of times, and don't be mad at me, y'all. I hear this a lot of times. I would love to tithe, but I can't. I would love to tithe, but I can't. I want you guys to do this. Take the class that Nick and Linda teach. You guys need to take that class, okay? You need to take that class. It teaches us about about giving. But I don't have enough in my bag to be able to do what I need to do. Think this thought. Scripture says, owe no man nothing but to love them. Right? Owe no man nothing but to love them. We get in such a bind with owing people things that we can't do what God's called us to do. Think that thought. Think that thought. We get so bound up in those things. And look, my whole talk today, my whole reasoning behind today is to get us to think about where we're at, not to condemn you or to convict you into doing something, okay? I want us to look at our lives and say, where am I at? Because if I don't know where I'm at, I won't know where to go. I would love to tithe, but I don't have enough in my bag. I don't have enough. When you think about what that says, when you think about what that says is I don't have enough to do what God's asked me to do. God hasn't given me enough to do what he's asked me to do. God always gives you what you need. Amen? Always gives you what you need. The words we speak that reveal the bag mindset is I don't have enough. Money doesn't grow on trees. We'll have to go without. She gets all the breaks, and I work just as hard, but she gets richer and I don't. Right? Well, how come they can do that? It's my chocolate. It's my window seat. It's my time. It's my money. This is my bag. Right? In the scripture, I don't think it's weird or funny that the one who betrayed Jesus was the man who carried the bag. John 12, 1 through 6. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead, so that he gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with perfume, with the fragrance of the perfume, but Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, who was about to betray him, said, "Why is this ointment not sold for 100 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her, let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you will always have with me, but you will not always have me." The thing about Judas is he was stingy, he was greedy, he wanted for himself. He didn't want that to be given away. Why? Because then he wouldn't receive from it. Again, the gifts that are given, it's not for you and for me, it's for others. It's for others. Not understanding why she was doing that or what it even meant, the woman gave a valuable perfume and she didn't hold back. It was a year's worth of wages, is what it says in the scripture. A year's worth of wages. So take a year's worth of what you have and place it at Jesus' feet, right? I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just saying. This is what she did. She took a year's worth of wages and she said, "This is more important to me than anything else." Again, going back and showing that women are not as selfish as men, right? Man, I figured the women would be amen and all through this point, man, all the time. Thinking this thought, man, what has God given to us that's valuable to us that we need to put at his feet. The things that we have in our life are not bad things. Again, most of what we have are inanimate objects, right? They're not good or bad. It's the way we use what we have. Thinking that thought, how are you using what God has given you? Am I using it to glorify God, which is what our lives as a whole are supposed to be towards God? What are we supposed to do? What were we created to do? Worship God, glorify God. That's why we feel so amazing when we do that. That's why in the middle of song service, man, this is the best thing ever, right? Y'all might not think that way, but I do. I love it. It's amazing. Why? Because that's what we were designed to do. And you're the most happy when you do what you've been designed to do. How are you looking at the gifts that are being given? Are they a waste? Or are they something special that's placed at the feet of Jesus? Think that thought, the bag mentality. I got to get more in my bag. That's why Judas betrayed Jesus, because he had to have more in his bag. All right? So think that thought. Number two, the basket mentality is there is enough. How many of you know we're supposed to be content in everything that we have? That's what Paul calls it. Says, I am content whether I have a whole lot or I have a little bit, right? I'm going to be content. Deuteronomy 28, I'm going to read verse 2 and verse 5. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Think this thought, man, and that goes with what I say constantly, and I hope that we understand why I'm saying what I'm saying. You know, it's hard for a preacher to talk about money and finances and things, because the first thing that happens is that everybody's like, well, he just wants money for the church. It's not the principle. That's not why I'm saying what I'm saying. If you think that that's what it is, you're in the wrong place. Okay, I'm just going to be, if you think that that's my heart or the heart of the church and the board and what we do, that's not it at all. But scripture tells us time and time and time again that blessing comes from what? Obedience. From obedience. When we're obedient, things happen. When we humble ourselves and turn from our wicked ways to a way of obedience, everything changes. When we give from obedience, right? And I'm not just talking about tithes and offerings. I'm talking about everything that we've been given. When we give what we have, what God's given to us, when we give some of it away, not all of it, that's a funny thing to me. We're going to talk about tithes for a minute, all right? There are several different thought processes about tithes and offerings. You have one that is what the Old Testament says. You have one that, this is funny to me, that the New Testament says, right? Like the New Testament, if you look at the new church, they didn't tithe. They didn't do tithes. It's funny how we take the part that we want to see out of the whole situation and we use that to benefit ourselves. If you look at the New Testament church, you are right. They took everything that they had, they sold it, and they lived together. The other thing that they did is every night, say every night, I want to make sure I don't know. Every night they got together and studied the Word of God together as a whole. So when we get ready to use those, this is what they did. Let's remember everything that they did and use the whole thing. If you want to do one, you got to do the other, right? You should think that way, right? Anyway, back onto this. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Verse 5, blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Think this thought. What you keep is all you have. What you give, God multiplies. Right? What you keep is all you have, and what you give, God multiplies. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." At this point in the scripture, again, in this part of Luke, he's talking about forgiveness. But God's principles work all the way across the board. All the way across the board. His principle doesn't work one way here and not over here, right? So if that's one of his principles, if he says give and it will be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, he didn't say keep and it will be given to you. He didn't say hoard and you will be blessed. He didn't say hold on to everything that you have and don't let anyone else have anything and you'll have everything that you need. That's not what it says. It says good measure, pressed down, shaken together. I want to go to 1 Kings 17. I'm going to read about, it was eight, nine verses. And it's about the widow at Zarephath. Elisha came to the widow and he said, "Hey, bring me," well, I'm going to read it. That way I'm going to stop telling you about it. "Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you.' So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was gathering sticks. And he called her to her and said, 'Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink.' And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, 'Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand.' And she said to him, 'As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I now am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die.'" That's kind of drastic, right? That's kind of hopeless in that moment. Do you know God brings hope when we're at our lowest of times? God brings provision when we're in a place that we can't do anything in ourselves. And God comes and brings what we need. We're going to keep reading. "And Elijah said to her, 'Do not fear. Go and do as I had said, but first make a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, or the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth.' And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither the jug of oil became empty, according to the word of the Lord that was spoke by Elijah." So I don't have any bread. All I have is a little bit of stuff to make it. All I have is this little bit. What is this little bit? What can this little bit do? I'm going to take this little bit. I'm going to make a cake, and we're going to die. Hopeless. So she gathered the sticks. She went, and this is the thing that we see in the scripture right here. She had a decision to make. Am I going to do what God has told me to do with what he's given me, what I have, or am I going to just do what I can do with it? When we do what I can do with it, it ends. It's over. It's never enough. When we do what God has asked us to do with what he's given to us, He changes everything. He multiplies everything. He makes sure that we have everything that we need. Elijah said, "Give it some to me first. Trust God. Always have flour left in your basket." Man, what do we need in our basket? We need God's multiplication in our basket. We need what God can do with what we have, what he's been given. Another time, and we talked about this a little bit last week, man, Jesus was talking to thousands of hungry people. John 6:4-13. What time is it? I got time. "And now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting his eyes then and seeing a large crowd was coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, 'Where are we going to buy enough bread so that these people can eat?'" I wonder how many times God asks us a question, not because he doesn't understand it, but he wants us to think it through ourselves, right? He didn't ask Philip the question because he was wondering where he could get food. He wanted to see where Philip was at. He wanted to see where his faith was at. So many times we're put in situations not to show God anything about us. He already knows about us. It's to show us about our faith in God and what God can do in the midst of our situation when we trust him. When we trust him. "He said this to him to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered to him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But what is that for so many? This is what I have, but God, what can you do with that? This is what I have, but it doesn't make any sense. There's not really, it's not much. It's not enough. I don't have. Jesus said, have the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, and about 5,000 in number. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to them who were seated, so that also the fish was as much as they wanted. So it's not like you get a little bit, you get a little bit, you get a little bit. It says it was as much as they wanted. So it was like an all-you-can-eat catfish dinner, right? That's what it says. As much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told the disciples, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. So a kid comes along with a filet of fish sandwich and says, here, I got these. What can you do with it? I'm going to give you what I got. It's all I have, man. Do you know, it's funny, but that little boy was willing to give up everything, even though like, he could have looked at him and be like, look, this is all I got. This ain't going to do much. This ain't going to do much. I'll just keep it for myself. That way I'll be fed. Selfish. But he looked and said, man, what I have, I think is more important than other people have. How many of you know, I guarantee you that little boy ate lunch, right? I guarantee you. And it doesn't say what happened to the 12 baskets, but I'm pretty sure he didn't send them home with nothing, right? It doesn't say, yeah, they gave the rest to the little kid. You know, it doesn't say that. But when do we do anything for God that he doesn't give it back to us? He multiplied it, baskets full left over. Not just enough, but more than enough. I have enough, the basket mentality. The next mentality is the barn mentality. There is always more than enough. Proverbs 3:9-10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. Then all your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. The first fruits. Do you know God wants to be first in your life in every aspect and every area? He wants you to put him first in everything that you do. And when you do, what ends up happening? Blessings that you can't contain them. Right? Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Everything will be given to you. All these things. What do you have need of? God will provide for you. Ask this thought. Are you being obedient with what he's given you now? Because if you're not, why would he give you more? Think that thought. Are you taking care of what he's put in your hand now? Because if not, then he's going to take it away. There's scripture behind that. The parable of the talents. One he gave 5, one he gave 2, one he gave 1. The 5 and the 2 multiplied it. The one with the 1 hit it in the ground, right? Then he came back and said, I knew you were shrewd. I knew you were a harsh master. I didn't want to lose it. Here's your one shiny thing. It's a little dirty because I buried it, but here it is. I kept it. The other two used it and said, hey, I'm going to do everything I can with what he's given me. And because of that, they brought a reward back to Jesus. And because of that, Jesus rewarded them. What are we doing with what God's put in our hands? Are we being faithful? Are we being faithful? Are we putting him first? Or are we doing what we do? And if we have enough left over, we'll take care of God. If we have enough left over, we'll take care of other people. If we have enough left over, then we'll see what we can do. Maybe we'll just hang on to it because we might not have enough next week. Do you know what? That thought process, that mentality, if we use the scripture, if we use the thought process as your faith is, so be it. You're probably not going to have enough next week. So I did that with the food pantry last time. First of all, thank you guys for bringing what you've brought for the food pantry. If you still would like to donate or give, you are still more than welcome to. We still have some. We have some more in the back. We were starting to take over the lobby a little bit out there. It was just amazing. But if you could please, if you can donate, please do. Next time you go, buy one, get one. Take one for yourself, give one away. That's how it works. Take care of me and others. Take care of me and others. That's what we do. But the month before, we had some, and I said, you know what, let's stop, because I don't want to make sure we have enough for next month. We went next month, and they didn't give us nothing. I wonder, this is just me thinking, right? I wonder if I would have given all that away, would God have blessed us with everything that we needed, not just a little bit that he did give? Now, he gave us some amazing things, right? I'm not saying he gave us this whole bin of meat. We don't even have to buy meat this month. We got a ton of meat, right? We got meat in like two people's freezers that are like, hey, do you have any room in your freezer? We need to stick some stuff in there until next month. They're like, yeah, sorry, we haven't come and got that yet. We'll get it this week, I promise. Food pantry. But anyway, thinking that thought, had I just given all that away, would God have given to me? There's two ways of thinking about that. One is that you prepare for your future, you plan, you count the cost before you build a wall, right? Before you build the house. You count and you say, okay, what do I have? But there's also the thought process is that if I give away what God has given me, he's going to bring me what I need. He's going to give me what I need. And so that's just a little insight on me. This is one of those things that I may not have had enough faith, and we may have had more than enough. Or maybe it was wisdom, right? There's the fine line. There's the thing. The word's not coming right. Am I trusting God, or am I? It's hard to say that because God gives us wisdom. He gives us discernment. Am I trusting God, or am I using my own wisdom to take care of me and us? Right? There has to be a distinction. There has to be a line. But understanding, when we put God first, when we give to God first, everything in our life, the blessing comes. So Exodus 13:22. This is where it starts talking about giving the firstborn and consecrating things to God. And Exodus 13:2 says, consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both man and beast is mine. So when your sheep has a lamb, give me the first one. Give me the first one. Don't wait till the 10th one. Right? Bring to God his first. Don't give him leftovers if I have enough. And you could have the thought process of, well, what if I only have one? Then I don't have anything else to give him later. Or what if I only have one? Then I don't have enough for myself. Again, the thought process, where is my faith in it? Am I trusting God to take care of me? Exodus 13:13. Firstborn of every donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. Or, if you will not redeem it, you should break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons shall be redeemed. So there were two types of animals here, right? There were clean and unclean that he's talking about. So he says, you take a clean animal and you sacrifice it to take care of the unclean animal, right? You say, what does that have to do with anything? When you were born, were you clean or unclean according to Scripture? You were unclean. What did God do to make you clean? He gave his one and only Son. Jesus, the firstborn of God, the Lamb of God. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sin. We were all born into sin. And God gave Jesus to redeem us of our sins. He gave his first. Thinking the thought process of our tithes, of what God has given to us, what he's put into our hands, it's not just 10%. It's the first 10%. It's taking care of God before others. And there's talk again. This is what I want you guys to do for me, please. Will you guys do something for me? Yes. Please. I want you to get into your word and read about what the tithe is. Why it's there, what it's supposed to do, and why we're supposed to give. I'm going to be 100% honest with you guys. Not just this church, but the church as a whole. Now, this does take into account that the people who are running the church and doing what they're supposed to do are faithful to God and doing what they're supposed to do. If the church as a whole tithed and gave the way that God said to do, the church would be taking care of the people, not the government. The church would be taking care of the people, not the government. Now, understanding this, there are many people who run the church who do so in an improper manner. And because of that, people choose not to give to the church. And because of it, the church as a whole suffers in its effectiveness to be able to do what they're supposed to do. This is what's hard about teaching about giving because of the way we see what's been done with it in the past by other people. It takes it away from us. Think this thought. So this has nothing to do with tithes. This has to do with me in high school. Y'all ready? So when I was in high school, we had open campus lunch, right? He said, what does that have to do with anything? I'm going to get to it. I'm going to bring it back to you. We had open campus lunch. We were able to leave and come back. But what ended up happening is there were several people that left, but they didn't come back, or at least didn't come back for one or two periods. And so because of that, what did they do? Nobody can leave. So the ones who did right with it were punished right along with the ones who did wrong with it. Thinking this thought, so the people that don't give and do so that the church and the body can take care of what needs to be taken care of, not only hurts, doesn't just hurt the people that are doing wrong so that they don't get to skim off the top or take what they're taking. It ultimately hurts the people that are supposed to be given to. And it's just a thought. One, make sure that the places you give are going to do what they're supposed to do with it. I remember we had a flood up in Louisiana, man, and there was a couple of people that got arrested because they were taking in donations of funds and they were paying all their people and using like 1% to take care of the people they were said they were taking care of. That's wrong. Make sure when you give places that you're giving to a place that's going to be faithful with it. But also understand this, that God blesses you because of the gift, because you're giving, because you're using what he's given you to help other people. Again, not just money, everything. Everything. But this is what happens, man. Tithing teaches us to trust God. God, I don't understand. April and I, man, when we first got married, I told you guys, this is long before I was a pastor, long before I thought I was going to be a pastor, right? We get married and we decided together, first thing, we make all our decisions together. You don't have to do that, but we do. If we do anything, I call her and say, hey, can I stop at the store and get something to drink? She says yes, or she says no, and then I say, please, right? That's just what happens with us. Wonder where my kids get it. So anyway, that's what we do. And we decided, hey, we're going to do it regardless. And I remember I got let go from a job, man. And we didn't have an income. She didn't work, or she worked at the time, but it was going to cut everything we had in half. We weren't going to be able to make our bills. Why? Because we live paycheck to paycheck like the majority of people do. Honestly, you need to work to get to where you're not doing that. Just as a good steward. That way you can do what God wants you to do when he wants you to do it. Hey, help this person out. I'd love to, God, but I don't have money to buy him a lunch. Can't, sorry, right? Think that thought. Anyway, we said, hey, we're going to give our tithe and we're gonna give it to God first. Actually, I'm just gonna be real. We bounced a check one time, so we gave cash forever, right? Now we do it online, but it's just quick. It put the check in, hey, get on your phone, put it in. She puts it in right away. That's what we do. You know, that's available to do if you want to do that. So anyway, getting back to it, we said, hey, what are we gonna do? Are we gonna eat next week? Because all the money I got coming in my check is paying these bills. We were eating off of my check. Like, what are we going to do? We said, you know what? We said we were going to give to God. I don't know what we're going to do. Maybe we'll go to your mom and dad's house and eat every night. I don't know what we'll do. We'll figure something out, right? We did it. What happened? We next day in the mail, Monday, I get a check back from the electric company. We hadn't even been there for a whole year. And they were giving us our whole down payment back, our deposit back, which ended up being about as much as one of my checks was. Right? And I had a job the next day, and so I was working, but I didn't get paid for another week. And so that took care of our stuff. But it was already in the mail. It was already there when you gave. It was, but would it have been there had I not given? Right? I don't think it would have. But I know that when we honor God with what he's given us, it takes faith to give first. It takes faith to give and then say, I don't know if I'm going to make it, but God, I'm going to give to you because this is what you say. And I'm going to believe that the 90% is going to be more than the 100 with the blessings of God on top of it. Actually, Scripture tells us to test them and see. So I will put this to you. If you are not a tither, if you're not a giver, I want you to try it. Say, God, let me see what you're going to do. Because that's what his word says. That's what his word says. That's what his word says. Thought it was just about tithing, man. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your produce, and then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats bursting with wine. You can think that thought. Honoring God with everything that you have. Or Proverbs 21:26 says, all day long he craves and craves, but the righteous does not hold back. I don't want to have a bag mindset. I don't want to live that way. I don't even want a basket mindset. I want a barn mindset. Now you're saying, well, you're talking about prosperity. No, man, no. But yes, prosperity is in the Word of God, the same as grace is in the Word of God. If I look at one more than I look at the other, then I'm wrong. You have to take the whole counsel of God. Amen? You have to take all of it and put it together. You can't pick and choose what you want in the Word of God. It's all there. There is prosperity in the Word of God. There is judgment in the Word of God in the last days. When we stand in front of God, there's judgment that's going to come, as we talked about last week or the week before. Right? It is going to be there. It's in the Word. It's true. All of it. Thinking this thought, where is my heart at in the middle of all of it? Going back to the way that I like to say, we see God is in our lives. What's our perspective? Are we looking at him or are we looking at ourselves? Do we have a self-centered faith or do we have a selfless faith? Guys, come on back up. Or people, come on back up. Praise team, come on back up. I like it. The thought I want you to leave with today, not he just told me to give to the church. If you heard that, then you didn't hear what I said, what I wanted to say. I didn't do a good job explaining it to you. What I want you to do today is say, look at what God has placed in my hands. Am I being faithful with it? Am I being a good steward of it? Or am I worried about me more than anyone else? Am I self-centered instead of selfless? Bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning as we get ready to walk out these doors, God, I ask that you see our hearts in the ways that we do things. Your word already says that you do, Father God. But I ask that you'd allow us to focus on you, on how you want us to live, how you want us to use what you've given to us, what you've placed into our hands, what we can do with what you've placed in our hands, and allow us to understand when the increase comes, God, it's not just so that we have more, it's so that we can bless others, Father God, that you give to us to give through us, Father God. And I ask that you would help us see that now, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Aaron, sing. Let's sing.